So Bob Harrig is, there's so many great correspondents covering the world of golf. Bob Harrig is one of those across the multi-platforms of ESPN. Clearly the focus of so many people in world golf, particularly from an American perspective, is the comeback of Tiger Woods and what it might mean. And on the birthday of Jack Nicklaus, Bob Harrig dares to float the notion that maybe at the end of 2019, Tiger might... you never know, return to the number one world ranking. I was keen to have a chat about the likelihood of that and the prospects going forward with it all kicking off at Torrey Pines this week. And I'm glad that Bob Harrig's found some time to have a chat to us. Bob, thanks for joining us, mate.
Yes, sir. Thanks so much for having me. Glad to speak with you today. Thank you.
Is it within his grasp, do you think? You didn't come out and say he will be. You didn't say that, of course. But I think some people would be keen to see, just from where he was at the start of 2018 and where he was at the end of it, where he starts 19, where he's going to end up. Do you think it's conceivable, with the quality of players ahead of him, that Tiger could, by the end of the year, be vying for that world number one ranking again?
Well, I think it's possible. And, you know, if he has another year like he just had in 2018, that won't be enough. It might put him close, you know, it might put him in the top five, but it's unlikely to get him to number one. He's going to actually have to play better than he did in 2018. And so while it's possible, I still think it's not likely. It's a lot to ask, I think, for him to win that much. You know, he probably has to win two or three times or, you know, with a major in there, or a Players Championship, something like that, and then have a bunch of high finishes. But you know, just the fact that he has gotten to this point, 13th in the world, you know, at this very time a year ago, he was 656. So
that's unbelievable.
It's been quite the jump, and you know, and really, I think at this point, if he could be in the top 10, it'd be remarkable. You know, remarkable to be in the top 10 and to be hanging around the top 10 for the rest of the year. And really, you know, a good result this week, it's possible for him to crack the top 10.
But Bob, there were people barracking for this and hoping that it would come true when he decided to, you know, recommit, you know, full-time to the tour, and his body was in the sort of shape that would allow him to do that. But surely, for all of the support and all of the greatness and all of the well wishes, nobody expected him to do what he did last year. I'm right in saying that, aren't I? We can look back now and have some clarity on that. There was no one really believing that what he did last year was within his grasp.
I think only his most ardent fans and supporters who might not have been the most realistic in approaching it. You know, I think what we saw in 2018 was, you know, the tremendous skill that he still possesses. You know, the ability to hit iron shots beautifully.
Yeah.
Still a really solid short game, very good short game. But, you know, also we saw that he couldn't just summon it whenever he wanted. He did have some off weeks. You know, he missed two cuts. He had a couple of tournaments where he was well out of contention. And I think, you know, back in the day, that just never happened, you know, and I just think you have to be realistic and sort of expect that he's going to have some tough weeks. You know, he's just not always going to have it. He's going to either have periods where he needed to rest and recuperate and couldn't work on his game leading into a tournament. You know, he's kind of has to go through this process of after an event, you know, sort of sizing up where he is physically and then trying to decide how he wants to go about getting ready for the next tournament. You know, back 10, 15 years ago, it used to just be relentless. You know, the amount of training, the balls that he hit, the practice that he did, and he can't come close to that now. And so he gives up a lot to these younger guys. You know, these guys play golf all the time, and he can't. But I do think it speaks to his still incredible skills that he still possesses.
Bob, you talk about the physical, requirements. When the data started to be revealed about, club head speed and how hard and fast he was getting, through the ball, and his numbers were ranking up alongside, the hardest and fastest swingers of the golf club, in the world right now. It was hard to believe that, given the back fusion and his age and, the physical trials that he's put his body through, that he was able to do that and generate that kind of speed. That in and of itself is truly, it's almost miraculous.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think he was surprised by it. I don't think he knew what he was going to have. But it's remarkable how much being pain-free, relatively pain-free in the lower back, down his leg. He had this nerve pain that would make it hard for him to walk properly. He had it. It was in his right side, and that made it difficult for him. And I just think the pain made it hard, even mentally, just to go after it. It made it hard for him to hit short game shots because he couldn't practice them enough. He couldn't be in that position for a long enough time to get comfortable and to work on that part of his game. So, he surprised a lot of people, including himself, I believe. He's not going to hit it as far as Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy, but he hits the 20 far. Well out there over 300 yards. He hit a ton of great drives last year, and I think if he's been able to get in the gym and get his strength back even more here in these last several weeks, I think we can even expect more of that.
So speaking of Bob Harrig from ESPN about the launching of another golf season for Tiger Woods, and he does that at a golf course that he's got an unbelievable record at and enjoys playing at. Your thoughts on the strategic nature of how he's going to plot his way through the year, Bob, and the courses that he's going to pick? And I'm just going through his career history. I don't think he's ever played more than 24 times, in a tournament season throughout his career. Do you know, have you got any kind of inkling from him and his people what the schedule ahead looks like for 2019?
Yeah, he at his tournament in the Bahamas in early December, he made it pretty clear that he felt he played too much last year, especially, events in a row, or at the end of the year, he played 7 out of 9 weeks, including the Ryder Cup. And, he didn't do very well in the Ryder Cup, and I think it finally caught up to him. And I think he's going to try to avoid those big stretches of a lot of golf in a short period of time. So he played 18 times on tour last year. We're looking at more around 16, I think, this year. The March time frame before the Masters is going to be very busy. And he's got some decisions to make. He's playing this week here in San Diego. After 2 weeks off, he comes back out here to L.A. for the Genesis Open. That's at Riviera. And then after that, we're a little unclear. The following week is a World Golf event in Mexico. Does he play that? Or does he skip it and wait because the Honda Classic is where he lives in South Florida? Then the next week is the Arnold Palmer Invitational, which he's won 8 times. And the next week is the Players' Championship, which obviously is a big tournament on tour. So he's got some decisions to make there. Does he play all of those? Which ones does he skip? I would expect to play 5 or 6 times before the Masters. And then things will kind of start to fall into place. I think after that, it'll be more every other week through the Open. Into the final stages of the FedEx Cup playoffs. And, it'll go by quick because this year the season ends in August. And, he'll be making those decisions and trying to figure out what he's going to do.
Well, Bob, it starts again. It was a remarkable reintroduction to everybody and the game of golf last year. Not that he really needed one, but he did remind us all of just how great he was and what he meant to the game from a global perspective, how important he can be still to the game of golf, what he brings, what only he brings. And we'll wait with a great deal of interest. It commences this weekend, and we can't wait to see where it goes in 2019. Appreciate you joining in the conversation today, Bob. Thanks for making yourself available to us.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.